You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Good Friday evening, everybody. Larry Hardesty and Gordon Damer in for Chris Carlin until 10 o'clock. 1-800-919-3776. Also, hit us up on social media like Twitter at Hardesty ESPN, at Gordon Damer, at ESPN NY, 98_7 FM, along with Brian the Brain and JP. We're here until not till midnight, Gordon, till 10.
No, I was going to say, you might be here till midnight. I'm leaving at 10 o'clock.
Oh, come on. You want to hang out an extra 2 hours?
Well, I mean,
wow.
Maybe. It'll depend on how the Yankees do tonight. If the Yankees win, I'll hang out here all night. If the Yankees lose, I might leave at like 8:30.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that. And by the way, Anita Marshall Weekend Wagers on the 10. It's funny you mentioned the Yankees because that's why I wanted to start with you tonight. And that is, listen, every game is a must-win game for the Yankees. We get that. We understand that. Can you explain to me, and not just tonight, but tonight really punctuates it, why are you starting Corey Kluber? Corey Kluber has what is his ERA? Like 105 since he's been back from injury? I mean, going back, Gordon, shouldn't they have given him the opportunity to rehab in the minors instead of the majors in games where you really need? He's giving you no length. This is not the guy that should be on the mound tonight, especially after a tough loss in Baltimore yesterday.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, it's almost like when the bullpen comes in and blows it.
Yep.
And individual guy, you're like, oh, why do they go to that guy? Well, who do you want to go to, right? Like, I mean, they don't really have that many options.
Hill.
This is not a – I don't think
Hill.
It's a good team. And I don't think it's a deep team.
Yeah.
What'd you say there?
Give me Hill. Lewis Hill. Yeah, give me Hill.
I mean, he kind of got exposed last time too, you know? I mean, with all the walks and everything else. So I just don't think that they're a very good team. And you know what really the thing is, Larry? If the offense is not going to eventually figure it out and start scoring some runs, I don't know that it really matters. I mean, the offense has just been so bad. Yesterday, just another perfect example of it, and that's supposed to be, you know, the real things that you're supposed to be able to depend on with the Yankees, the real locks of the Yankees organization are supposed to be the offense and the bullpen.
Yep.
And they have been exposed in both areas, really, the offense all season, the bullpen lately, because they've been relied on so much. And it just seems like for a while now, this is just a team out of gas. So whether or not they're able to get it going here, we will see tonight. Every day is a new day, and you just take a look at the Orioles, right? The record that they finished with the Orioles. you go through the individual games. I was kind of looking at it today. They were lucky to win some of the games they won. They were lucky to win, right? Like they won some one-run games against the Orioles, so it could have been a whole lot worse. It's just, and we mentioned it last night. Yankees lost 8 games to the Orioles this year. The rest of the American League East lost 10 the entire season.
I mean, think of this, Gord. We could be sitting here lamenting the fact that the Yankees lost 2 of 3 to Baltimore because they were trailing in the 9th inning in the game they came back and won.
Right, and you would think that if ever, right, they just ended up, the series prior, they lost 2 of 3 to the Orioles.
That's right, yeah.
You know, maybe you lose 2 of 3 to the Orioles in April or May, you know, okay, you got plenty of time to, it's just a sign that this is just not a very good team.
But you're still.
Still, well, technically
just a
you
half
are still
game
in it,
out.
Right, yep. Still,
you
it.
Know, it's the ultimate tease. Like, so I'm listening to the K Show today, and Michael is so good. Can I just tell you this? He is so good. He's the master manipulator. You hear him teasing Don? What happens if the Mets sweep the Phillies? You'll only be 2 games out. And I'm saying to Don, don't fall for it.
What if a unicorn comes flying down from the sky? I mean, what if? That's a popular series right now on Disney Plus, where they
is
go
really?
Through the Marvel universe with all the superheroes and they ask a question of what if.
Uh-huh.
And they're outlandish questions, but I don't know that any of the, like one of them, what if all the superheroes turned into zombies? I don't know if that's as outrageous as thinking the Mets are going to sweep the Phillies.
I don't think so. And it's funny because we were talking about this last night, right? You were saying, you know, all the resources that the Michael K. Show has, they
must have different stats. Yeah, they're still believing. I don't know why, but they are.
I don't either. I don't. And Don's not believing, but you know what? He Michael's just reeling him in a little bit.
Right.
Just trying
he's trying to get him on the hook.
Just trying to reel him in. It's just like, no, don't fall for it. No, we know. Come on. They're not sweeping the Phillies.
No.
They're not sweeping the Phillies. And even if they swept the Phillies, you're telling me they're going to beat Boston? Come on. They're not beating Boston.
Like, when you're a sports fan, when you're a diehard sports fan, over the years, you just kind of come to certain rules that maybe either somebody has told to you or you just find them yourselves. One of the rules is you, as a fan base of whatever team you're a fan of, whatever sport you're a fan of, you are not allowed to talk about the playoffs until your team is above 500.
Yeah.
Above 500, not even at 500. You have to be above 500. Now, look, there's some weird circumstances, right? The NFC East last year was a weird circumstance where nobody was going to finish over 500. But no, the Mets are in a division with a team that is two teams that are above 500, so they're not allowed to even talk out loud about the play. I wouldn't even use my inside voice if I were a Met fan at this point. Like, the, it would be like the old Jim Mora, you know, play the playoffs. Well, I mean, what are we talking about? The playoffs? No. Can we just win a game?
Please. That would be nice.
Get a big
hit.
That
would be nice. I know. I know, Gordon. Listen, I know. I'm already
I don't even want to talk about the playoffs with the Yankees.
And they're a half game.
And they're a half game out. They're so frustrated. I can't even imagine. If I were a Met fan right now, if you looked at me and you asked me a question about the playoffs, I might have to punch that person. I might have to hit him. I wouldn't. And if I went to court, I don't think that I would be found guilty.
No, there would be extenuating circumstances.
Right. Oh, you're a Met. Oh, well, that's there. I mean, in fairness, he is a Met fan.
Yeah, exactly.
And he watched the Giants last night.
Oh, Boy, you know, another great segue out of you.
I do it every once in a while. That's me until, like, maybe November.
Oh, man, you know, you must have went to school in Segue City, North Dakota, because you're rolling with that, and that's where we're going to start now. We just chatted a little baseball, but let's talk a little football. You can talk baseball with us as well at 1-800-919-3776. But, Gordon, we were on the air when it happened last night, and so for me, the biggest thing that I wanted to hear was how Joe Judge was going to handle the postgame. Because he's a disciple of the Bill Belichick coaching tree.
Mm-hmm.
And he did, you know, he didn't say next question. I thought he was, but I give him credit. He handled it reasonably well. He didn't blame anybody. He says, not just that, we have to coach him up better. We have to do it. So he gave you all the stuff. But the tricky one that was really funny to me was when somebody asked him about Galladay yelling on the sidelines at Daniel Jones. And he says, they were just hugging in the locker room a minute ago. I don't know. I didn't see it. And I'm like, and then the speculation has gone on, right? Was he yelling at Daniel Jones? Or now a person moves out of the way of the video. Was he yelling at Jason Garrett? Here's the point, Gordon. He shouldn't have been yelling at anybody on the sideline. I understand the frustration, but when you have dropped a couple of passes as well, you don't have the right to yell at anybody on the sideline unless you're yelling at yourself.
Yeah, and look, it certainly didn't seem like he was yelling at himself. I would like to see a little bit of fire out of my team when they're losing a game like that. But yeah, I mean, clearly Kenny Golladay has nobody to blame but himself. I mean,
no.
He had a big drop last night, has not really had the impact. Now, maybe his presence has kind of opened things up for Sterling Shepard. But
I'm
you
sure
didn't sign him. I don't think you signed him to that $72 million contract for the next 4 years to be a presence on the field. You're looking for some production, and that production, at least through two games, has not been there. And keep in mind, in the first two games, especially last night, Daniel Jones has not been the issue.
No.
Like, maybe he was the issue in game one, partly because of the fumble at the time it came. But it wasn't like he turned the ball over three or four times. It was one turnover, and it was highlighted and accentuated because the defense just could not get off the field, and that was the primary problem. So you take a look at this Giants team. You know, if you had come in and 2 weeks, you say, well, you know what, Daniel Jones has not played very well, so we're not going to be able to win games. You can't win games right now when he plays fairly well. And I think last night, I don't know if it was the top level that he can play, but it was pretty close. Clean game, no turnovers, made some plays down the field, made big throws, had running plays where, you know, obviously impacted the scoring. So that is, they have a long list of concerns right now, and that has to be on it. But, in terms of you're already week two, and you're already having fights on the sidelines.
Yeah. Yeah. Not good. I mean, Gordon, and I don't watch every Giants game, okay? But you could argue, and we'll have Giant fans tell us, you could argue this might have been his best all-around effort since his rookie year.
Daniel Jones? Well, yeah. Certainly, I mean, it didn't come last year.
We can
cross off pretty much every single game right off the top of your head from last year, because there was not a lot of big offensive performances last year. And I know that Giant fans are very upset with the play calling.
Absolutely.
Down the
should
stretch
be.
Of the game, and that after the interception, kind of settling for the field goal there.
Yep.
I would just say, you know, the Giants did score 29 points last night.
That's right.
I don't think they scored 29 points all of last year. So sure. If you told me coming into this year, and every Giant fan would be guilty of it, hey, you're going to score 29 points. And we were talking, I think it was two nights ago, about, you know, what kind of game is it going to be? Is it going to be an offensive struggle if Barkley? And I said, I think it's going to be an offensive struggle no matter what. I mean, these two teams are not very good offensively, and they go out there and they score, what, 59 points. So You score 29 points. If I had told you before the year the Giants are going to score 29 points in a game, is that game going to be a win? You would have said 100% yes. And again, for the second week, the main problem was the defense.
Yeah, because you wouldn't have thought, first of all, you wouldn't have thought that Washington would have given up 29 points.
No, not to this Giants offense, especially when you're not getting what you're getting from Saquon Barkley. Like, coming into this year, one of the reasons why I was optimistic about the Giants was, Saquon's going to be back, and Daniel Jones has very rarely had a big game without Saquon being in there. Even if Saquon doesn't have a big game, you know, he's kind of like a decoy, or, you know, the defense is focusing on him, and at least it frees up Daniel Jones to do some things. Last year, he basically didn't have him and really had a very rough season throughout, because he lost in week two. So the fact that Daniel Jones has played this well, and Saquon really hasn't been a factor at all outside of one run yesterday, I think that's kind of a good sign for the quarterback. But again, at the end of the day, you're 0-2, so I don't know how much optimism you can really have.
Yeah, and you're really leaning as a Giant fan on this Atlanta game, because you can't pick up too many wins.
Oh,
you went over the
God.
Schedule last night. You can't pick up too many wins in the future. If you don't, if you lose to Atlanta, I don't see a win.
Oh, if they
maybe
lose
Carolina.
To Atlanta, think it's bad now. You lose to Atlanta, and it's all hands on deck, baby. I mean, I don't know where you go from there. I think some guys in the organization, if they lose to Atlanta, they may as well go to the bodega and start getting the cardboard boxes, because there's going to be some people shipping out.
Yeah, you're right.
The summer wasn't ideal for the Giants offense. Then they come out and they're playing maybe the two of the best defenses in the league. Next week is the one you circle on your calendar. Giants offense has to show up, has to show it, Daniel Jones and everyone. 10 days off at home against Atlanta. Doesn't show up then I think you might see the alarm sounding. I mean, we're going to be talking about Jason Garrett's future.
Wow. Jordan Renan covers the Jets for us, covers the Giants for us at ESPN.com, and part of the NFL National Reporters. It's Hardesty and Damer for Carlin on 98.7 ESPN, 1-800-919-3776. Gordon, we'll get to the calls in a second, but, I mean, listen to what Jordan is saying. After week three? So if they lose week three, you tell me Garrett could be out? And this, Gordon, this from a franchise that is notoriously understanding and patient in the front office. They don't like to make a lot of moves.
Right, and it's cost them a lot of times. Their loyalty. True. They're too loyal sometimes with people that have been in the organization. We've seen that time and time again. The reason why they have not made changes even, with Dave Gettleman is, I think that they want to be sure. They want to give them every chance to get the ship righted, and loyalty has come back. You know, Jerry Reese, that was a case, I think. Eli, it was a case. I think it's a case right now. So I don't know that I necessarily believe that. And, you know, the other problem that I have is that, you know, Jason Garrett hasn't become some different kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of who he is. And I thought last night they were overall, obviously that last possession, they were not aggressive enough, and they didn't execute.
Yeah.
So that's an issue as well. But if you're having a problem with that last drive, that was what they did all night long. They settled for field goals all night long. So it really wasn't just that last possession. That's who they were all night. And I would just kind of say that if you're talking about overall, right, like you're continually going for field goals and settling for field goals, that's not just on the offensive coordinator. That's on the head coach. The head coach has got to be a little bit more aggressive there. And I know he's not calling plays, but if you're settling for field goals every single time, and then what did they have last night? Five field goals?
Mm-hmm.
They were inside the Washington 40, I think, five or six times. And they settle for field goals just about every time.
Yeah.
So to me, that is a problem for the head coach. This is the same thing that drove me nuts about Adam Gase last year when the defense didn't play well. Nobody talked to Adam Gase about it. No, he's the head coach, and he was a bad head coach. He couldn't handle even the one side of the ball. But I think that this is a Joe Judge issue. If you're talking continually about how they're not aggressive enough, and I did think that they were great. You know, they took some shots down the field. Unfortunately, you know, the one they didn't, Darius Slayton didn't catch, and it would be a different story. But yeah, if you're talking about an overall conservative game plan. That's kind of who Jason Garrett is, and I think it's up to the head coach to say, hey, we got to take some more shots here.
Yeah, he's got a headset.
Right.
He can say, listen, let's do something, even if you don't want to interrupt. Hey, listen, you know what? Let's stretch it out a little bit, Jason. Let's pick up the tempo a little bit. And see, that's the frustrating thing because, Gordon, you saw him do, they did the hurry up. They did take some shots downfield. But it's almost like, well, that didn't work, so let's go back and do what we know is going to work, that conservative thing over the middle, just dump it out, whatnot, and do some certain things. And, you know, you got to get sevens. Threes constantly, the more threes you get, you're constantly haunted by the fact that you didn't get touchdowns there, and you're constantly chasing that touchdown, and you know, when they really needed it, they didn't get it.
Yeah,
until they lost.
And some things, you know, kind of went sideways. The holding call on the Jones touchdown, and I thought Michael brought up a really good point today, was that, you know, maybe the fact that Graham Gano is so automatic that they almost lean on that a little bit more because they know they definitely have the field goal. I would think that would mean that you'd be willing to take more shots down the field because, you know, if you're within striking distance of a touchdown, you're certainly probably going to be within striking distance of a field goal, and you can rely on that later on. But it seems like they love the field goal, and you said it, right? The more times you kick in field goals, it's almost like you're increasing your odds of not winning the game. You're leaving the other team open there to come down and score.
Plus, let's be honest, you chase field goals when your defense is holding the opponent. You knew this defense, the way it was playing, you were going to need more points.
And that, to me, is the number one takeaway from last night. More so, the Dexter Lawrence play, it's terrible. Some videos I've seen today actually kind of make you think maybe he wasn't offsides, but that's mm-hmm. what it was called. But more so than the Dexter Lawrence play, more so than the conservative plays there when they got the interception. To me, the bigger takeaway moving forward is if this defense does not greatly improve here very, very fast, well, the Giants are kind of doomed because they're not going to go out and score 30 points every single week.
Mm-mm. Nope. They can't.
It's not like you've taken on two of the best offenses. You know, everybody keeps talking about the defenses they played. It's not like you're taking on the best offenses in the sport in Denver and now Washington with a backup mm-hmm. quarterback.
Yeah.
And twice with a backup quarterback, Washington went right down the field. Two plays mm-hmm. for one drive and a touchdown. And then when they need a field goal, they went right back down the field with, what was it, one timeout.
Yeah. Yep. What, they have two plays and we're right back after they
scored
two plays?
Yeah, the touchdown. Yeah, it was fast.
It's quick.
I was looking down and I was like, oh, what? They're already down there. It was fast. Yeah, no question.
Two plays
against the backup quarter. I mean, he carved you up all night.
He did a nice job. He really did. Let's go to the phones. 1-800-919-3776. Steven Newberg, you're up first on 98.7 ESPN. What's up, Steve?
Hello.
Hey, Steve.
Yeah, how's it going? Now, I'm a Jets fan, but I watched the game last night. Living room full of Giant fans, and what I seen last night, and I, you know, it's kind of, I feel like they're going the route the Jets went with Adam Gase. You know, when Bradberry caught that interception down there, you have your franchise quarterback. You're trying to find out what Daniel Jones is, right? So you go down there and you put the ball in the end zone. The game's over. So why play for a field goal? You got to see what Daniel Jones is. To be honest, from last night, I like him. You know, I like what they got in him. But you got to figure out how far he can take him. You know what I'm saying?
Well, look, Steve, I would say yes. I mean, that's the purpose of the entire season. I don't know necessarily that I have to find out for sure in week two. I mean, Joe Judge was coaching that game, and I think rightfully so. Like, it was make or break, right? Like, you need to get a win in that spot. And I thought he was coaching to try to get that win as much as he could and not let anything go wrong. He just watched Tyler Heinicke throw a critical interception in a big spot. You know, if you're throwing the ball there right. with a quarterback who's been prone to turnovers, that same thing could happen to you. So he's looking for the field goal there maybe and then relying on his defense. The problem is his defense is actually not reliable. I get what you're saying about Daniel Jones, and I think that over the course of the season – you have to kind of take bigger shots and better shots with him and trust in him more, especially if he plays like he did last night. But I don't know that I'm saying – I did think that they had to be a little bit more aggressive, but all of a sudden coming out right. four wide with Daniel Jones in that spot, I don't know necessarily that I was thinking that was the right approach either.
Yeah, no, I wasn't thinking that either. Thanks for the call, Steve. I just thought, Gordon, here was a situation where, listen, they would have been better served running Daniel Jones.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I would have thought that, you know, on that first play, rather than stacking the line, you know, and telegraphing, basically, outside of screaming, hey, we're going to run the ball right into the middle here, you know, maybe do like a play action and try and hit somebody in a one-on-one, you know, Kenny Golladay, get him one-on-one in a spot. But obviously they didn't do that. They kind of decided they were going to kind of settle for the field goal. Now, again, every play is drawn up to work, right? Like there's no plays that they're like, well, just run this into the line and then fall down. I mean, they're kind of hoping to take some time off the clock, and force Washington to use their timeouts. The problem was they didn't execute. Even the third down play when they did throw, he threw it behind him, and he wouldn't have gotten the first down anyway.
Nope, sure wouldn't. You can join the conversation at 1-800-919-3776. Also weigh in on Twitter at Hardesty ESPN, at Gordon Damer, at ESPNNY, 98_7FM. Gordon, Will Fuller, you concerned?
Yo, yeah, yeah.
I just thought I'd ask.
Yes, I am. I don't know, we knew when the Dolphins traded for him that he was going to be gone for the first week, but you thought after that, okay, you know, this is a big weapon, right? Downfield passing game, adding the weapons that they did this offseason, year two for Tua. And now to find out that he's not only going to miss some time due to personal reasons, but Brian Flores said today could be the season.
Oh,
yeah. I mean, there's no timetable for when he might be back. And I saw, and not that this maybe means anything, but he's also closed out his Instagram. So I don't know what that means, but it ain't good, right? It's not like, hey, he closed out his Instagram. Great news there. So
no, there's a reason.
I don't know what's going on there, but big game for them on Sunday against Buffalo. And not great that the big offseason acquisition that you thought was going to be this huge weapon to change the field, right? Take the top off the defense. Is not going to be there.
No, that's going to be a concern. That's going to be a concern. We'll talk a little NFL a little later.
Usually they ruin my season in December, November. You know, it's not usually that they ruin it right off the bat of the season. They got to suck me back in first.
Yeah, but 10-6 didn't ruin your season last year.
Well, they didn't make the playoffs, though, Larry. That ruined my season. And now, there was an expectation to make the playoffs last year.
You didn't expect to make the playoffs last year.
No, but, I mean, 10-6, you expect to make the playoffs.
Yeah, but it's just one of those things. It happened. Listen, talk to the Jet fans. They didn't make it for 10-6 either one year under the first year of...
Yeah, under Bowles.
Yeah, Todd Bowles.
When they went to the Buffalo year with Fitzpatrick. Yeah.
Rex Ryan got him.
Yeah, right. So yeah, that was a revenge game, sure. Yeah. But yeah, to go from like he's dealing with something and he won't play Sunday to somebody asking him if he's going to return this season and Flores declining to say whether or not he would.
That's not good.
That's not.
That means he probably won't.
Right.
But they don't know.
Yeah.
They're holding on.
If you say it, we're taking it a week to week thing, you know, that's one thing. But declining to say, oh, no, you know, he's going to play at some point.
Yeah, sure. He's going to play eventually.
Yeah.
Eddie's in Rockland. Eddie, you're next on 98.7. Eddie.
How you doing?
Eddie. What's up, Eddie?
Hey, guys. What are you doing? You know, I'm glad Chris has off. You know, this is the first time I called since the draft, and all he did was kill all my picks for the Giants and the Jets, and the Steelers took four first picks were players I wanted for the Jets. I mean, the Giants and the Jets. I wanted Fields, the running back that Jacksonville took, that the Penn State tight end, and address and hit two guys on the offensive line. And I'm gonna lay a bet down for Chris. You know. I'll bet you the Steelers that he doesn't think are going to be good will have more wins than the Jets and the Giants combined this year. See if he wants to take that bet for a Big Mac sandwich.
Well, call him back.
Yeah.
Call him back.
He'll be back Monday. I mean, he's not going on vacation. I mean, it's just a day.
He's not done. He's
no.
Yeah. So call him back, Eddie.
He dances around it. You know, I didn't want Pat Shermer. I wanted the guy who went to Frank Reich as a coach. He left me off the radio. 2 months later, he was apologizing. The Giants' problem is they don't have the main set of the Giants. Right guard, center, power running game, power tight end play. And that's what they should have done. They should have traded down, got a right guard, should have took the Penn State tight end, should have got a center, and should have got a power running back and get that offense and get that motor going. They ain't going. The Giants season is over.
I hear what you're saying, Eddie. Thanks for the phone call. But, I mean, if I got Saquon Barkley, I'm not thinking, Gordon, I need a power running back. I'm thinking I got my running back. I got to wait and see what he has. Now, you know, I heard what Alan Hahn had to say. I spoke to a former running back in the National Football League today who kind of said similar things, that he looked apprehensive to him, that he just looked unsure. And to a layman's translation, Gordon, that says the knee still gives him uncomfortability in his head, and that's why he's not pushing it. And I think the short week didn't help him.
Yeah, I'm sure. And that has to be a factor. We kind of, as soon as you saw the schedule and you knew week two and you knew the stuff that Saquon was coming off of, that could be a concern. I'm just wondering, because this is not the first game. Like, I gave you the stat the other day from Albert Breer that he has more games with 50 or fewer yards than more than 100.
Yeah.
Is it I don't want to jump the guy. I don't want to have a hot take, but is it possible that Barkley's not as good as we think? Like, he's always looking to hit the home run, and when he hits those home runs, that's great. But sometimes you just got to pick up 4 or 5 yards, and it doesn't seem like, you know, if you have the mindset of I'm just going to go and try and hit a home run every single time and dance around and not hit the hole like I'm supposed to. Sometimes 5 yards is you know, sometimes it's just all I need is a base hit to center. I don't need a home run every time.
Yeah.
Is it possible that he's not as good as we think he is?
It could be. It's possible, Gordon. I think, and he'll prove it this year. And listen, he'll prove it against Atlanta, because he will have had 10 days off. Okay? So, you know, that whole mindset should not have had, you know, that mindset should not be there. So the question is going to be, is it that he's apprehensive or he doesn't trust the hole is going to be there by the time he gets there, because he's got no faith in his offensive line. He knows where the hole is supposed to be. Maybe he doesn't think it's going to be there when he gets there. Generally,
it's not. It's not
there.
And
usually, he's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, look, I mean, clearly he would be. If the Giants had just a mediocre offensive line, he would obviously be a far bigger factor. But I'm just wondering, like, it just seems like he can't function behind what the Giants have. And now coming off a knee injury, I don't know. I think he's one of the most talented backs in football. But when you keep looking at games where he has one run. He had 41 yards last night on one run, and then later in the game he had 8 runs on the night, and he still had 41 yards.
Yeah. That's why, you know, you go back and you say, if you're Jason Garrett, line him up. Toss it to him.
Right.
Why does he have to take it from handoff? Line him up in the back. Line him up put him in the slot. You know, put him outside. Why do you have to hand it to him all the time? It's still a running play. He's just not taking the handoff. Move him around. You know, let the defense try to find where he is and spread that out, and maybe that will help him out a little bit. Plus, it helps your offensive line some if you move him outside. Now they don't have to worry about where they have to go.
He is supposed to be your best offensive weapon.
Yeah.
I mean, he's versatile. you just look back. What a mistake that pick was.
Yeah, number two.
Oh, my God, what a disastrous pick that was. I mean, taking a running back that relies on an offensive line, and 4 years later, you still don't really have a good offensive line. Now, I don't think it's been as bad as maybe we thought coming into the year, but nobody would say it's been good.
No. Mm-mm. Nope. It's been an issue, and it continues to be an issue for this Giants team. It's just crazy. Anthony's in Jersey. Anthony, you're next on 98.7. Anthony.
Hey, what's up, guys? How are you?
Good. Hey, what's up?
Hey, listen, if you're Giants brass, how long are you waiting before you clean house?
For who? The Jets or the Giants? What are you talking about? Giants the after
Giants,
last night?
The Giants.
All right.
I would say Judge can stay, but everybody else got to go.
Who can? Oh, Judge can stay. Yeah, see, I mean, that's interesting to me. Like, all the Giant fans love Joe Judge, but – and they kind of – he's not responsible for any of the failure of the team. Look, if you get to midseason and – I mean, you'll know by then. I don't think you can know for sure after 2 weeks. I think that's jumping the gun. It does seem like it's lined up towards another bad season, but I would think, like, if you get to midseason and you got 2 or 3 wins, well, then you know that at the end of the season you're going to be clearing house.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. All right, thank you guys. Have a great night. Appreciate it.
All right, Anthony, thanks for the call.
What do you
1-800-919-3776.
When do you think the call is?
Go ahead.
When do you think that you would make the call? Like, if you get to midseason, week 4, if they're 1-3 after week 4, does it have to be longer than that? What would you say?
See, I don't know. Changing head coaches in the NFL is different than any other sport.
I mean, I think more for Gettleman. Like, when is Gettleman's goose cooked? Like, when they don't have a winning season, they don't go.
Obviously, that's not it.
Well, if they don't have one this year, I mean, what could possibly be the reasoning this year if they don't have a winning season?
Because Daniel Jones emerged.
Oh,
because
my God. Could you imagine? I mean, Giants.
Because they're
fans.
They're tied hand in hand.
Oh, my God. If they have a losing season, but Daniel Jones is halfway decent.
Yep. Then what do you do?
Oh, my God.
What do you do then, Gordon? Daniel Jones plays maybe not the same numbers, right? But if Daniel Jones plays consistently the way he played last night and they still find ways to lose, be it just better competition, it may not even be that they're bad. It may be that who they face. You announced the gauntlet that they've got coming up.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Tampa's better. Kansas City's better. You know, Green Bay's better.
It's almost impossible to find a game where you say, well, the Giants are clearly better than them. Falcons are one of them.
Yes. Yeah.
And maybe there are games that they will win.
And maybe right? Carolina.
Right. I mean, maybe they beat the Saints. I don't know. Maybe. I mean, we only got one game to go on the Saints, and right. We're all of a sudden anointing them. But, you know, the Dolphins might not be very good. Bears might not be good. You do seem to beat Washington, although not last night.
Yeah.
So maybe there's some games that they can win. But, yeah, I mean, by the time you get to midseason, all right, to give you an idea, all right, we're at 0-2. Week 3 is the Falcons at home. If you don't win that, well, then forget it. It's all over.
Yeah.
But week 4 is at the Saints, wherever that game is going to be played.
Right.
Week 5 is at the Cowboys. Week 6 is home for the Rams. Week 7 is home for the Panthers. And then week 8 is home for the Chiefs. So the Rams and I think the Chiefs games, those are probably losses.
You want to know something funny?
What's that?
I think if they're struggling against Carolina or something, I may have to really look at Gettleman a little bit.
Yeah.
And this is, you know, because I think out of that gauntlet that you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Carolina, and you know, I understand what they did against the Jets, and I understand how dominant McCaffrey can be. But Gordon, I mean, you should be able to beat Carolina in your building.
Oh my God, yeah, no, absolutely.
If you can't beat Carolina in your building,
because that's what happens, right? If you're saying to yourself, "Well, I don't know if we'll beat Carolina," well, then who the hell are you going to beat?
Yeah,
beat the Cowboys in Dallas. You're going to beat the Saints in wherever that. If you can play that game on the moon, right? I mean, where does it matter if you can't? If you're not confident about going and beating Carolina at home, that's kind of the problem with the first 2 weeks.
Yes.
Like, Denver's maybe a good team. I don't know. Maybe some people think they could be a playoff team this year.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to run out of the building by them.
Yeah.
Like,
it's how you lost.
If you're not competitive in that game, who are you beating?
Yeah. It's how you lost. It's not that you lost. It's how you lost.
And if the defense is not going to be significantly better than it's been here the next 2 weeks, well, then we're just kind
of. They got a lot of work to do over these 10 days.
Yeah.
They got a lot of work to do. They do.
Yes, they do.
I mean, at Jay Blaze NYC, one of the comments he made was, aside from, you know, what's going on with Barkley, he's supposed to be among the top running backs like Kamara, et cetera. You know, what's happening with him? But the other thing he mentioned is, aren't we paying Leo to get after the quarterback?
Yeah.
And you mentioned it last night with the graphic they put up about, you know, Leonard Williams last year, his numbers against Aaron Donald last year and his numbers. And listen, they were comparable last season.
Yeah.
He had a heck of a season. There's no question about it. And he may have a really good season this season.
Maybe.
But it's not gone off to the first two games. You know, they've made adjustments and nobody else has come out to help him. You know what it is? Gordon, right in these two games, he looks like he did when he was with the Jets. In the sense that he was taking the double team, right?
That has never been a good statement, right? Okay. This guy looks like he did when he was with the Jets.
Yeah. You're not hearing his name called. Because he's getting double teamed, and nobody else is getting to the quarterback instead of him.
Yeah, they had this graphic between him and Aaron Donald. I think I saw Aaron Donald as much last night as I saw Leonard Williams. And Aaron Donald wasn't playing.
Yeah, he was off.
Yeah.
That's tough. 1-800-919-3776. Gordon, let's go back to the phones. Let's chat with D'Angelo in Brooklyn. He's next on 98.7. Hey, D'Angelo.
Hey, what's going on, guys, man? So we've been talking about Daniel Jones. I kind of want to throw you guys for a little loop when it comes to alternate history and affecting three future Hall of Fame quarterbacks and one that's already in. So we all know that the Chargers drafted Ryan Leaf, right, and the Colts drafted Peyton Manning. But what happens if it was reversed and the Chargers actually drafted, you know, Peyton Manning? Then there goes Phillip Rivers for the Chargers. There goes Drew Brees for the Chargers. And does that same trade go down with Eli? And would the Giants still have, you know, those two Super Bowl rings? Will we have Daniel Jones? Like, what do you think would have happened in history? Because we're talking about Daniel Jones, but it's a possible chance that we might not have even had Daniel Jones or Eli, you know? It's just something that I've seen and thought that I would share, you know?
Boy, that loss last night has really put the Giant fans in their feelings. I mean, they are spiraling, Larry. They are spiraling, Larry.
Yeah, I feel like classical, man. I feel like...
Wow. Well, listen, I'll answer this way, D'Angelo, and thanks for the phone call. Hey, Gordon, how many calls have we taken that it's the defense that won those championships for the Giants?
Right, the Super of course. Bowl. Yeah, yeah.
So if that's the case, you would have won anyway, no matter who the quarterback was, because the defense was so good.
Yeah.
If that's the case. I don't know how that turns out. It's interesting to
think
that way.
I'd have to go back and look. I do remember that there was at least some scuttlebutt. I think it was the Rose Bowl that Ryan Leaf. I never really took it very seriously. I guess you'd have to kind of talk to the people that were involved that, you know, maybe. Mm-hmm. I mean, Peyton Manning, he was like Trevor Lawrence, right? Like, it was just a question of what year he was coming out.
Yep.
And he was going to be the number one pick. And it was the year prior where he was a junior where he was thinking about coming out. And at least the story was he talked to Bill Parcells, was running the Jets at the time, and said, can you guarantee me that I'll be the number one pick? And Parcells would not. So he went back for his senior season. So, I mean, he could have been a Jet. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of what ifs. There's a lot of what ifs. And when you're a bad team, that's what you're stuck dealing with,
yeah,
right?
That's true.
And trust me, I know. I've been sitting in my life in football has been all about what ifs.
Please. Man, if the Knicks only could have had, why did we get Gerald when we could have had Dominique Wilkins? How different would my life have been if I had Dominique Wilkins alongside Patrick Ewing in the 80s and 90s instead of, you know, Gerald Wilkins?
Well, the nice thing for the Giants is you don't have to do what ifs. I mean, you have some actual success.
You got Super Bowls. You got four.
That's why I get sick of hearing the Giant fans complain, oh, poor us. Join the club. You guys have lived a miracle-charmed life, and now you're getting to see how the other half lives. I mean, and some of us have been living here the entire time.
Started with a losing record and still ended up with a Super Bowl championship.
Right, exactly.
And beat New England twice. Beat Brady.
Perfect team, right?
Helmet twice.
Catches and field goals wide right. I mean, they've lived a charmed existence. I don't want to hear it. Like if there's a line of NFL gripes, Giant fans, you're the back of the line. You're not cutting anybody. And a lot of us, it's like the waiting room in Beetlejuice. We've been there for years. Some of us are sitting there with shrunken heads pulling out our hair.
It's true. Dennis is in Brooklyn. Hey, Dennis, you're next on 98.7.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Just want to tell you, I love the show. Have one point. You know, everybody that I hear is talking about the coaches and the front office and what they're going to do. But, you know, last night, it felt like I had deja vu all in the end zone. He was wide open. Mm. You make that catch, the whole game is different. The whole outcome is different. Just wanted to get you guys' thoughts. Thanks again.
You're welcome, Dennis. Thanks for the kind words. Gordon, we said it last night. What did we say? You know it's going to come back to haunt you when you miss a play like that.
Said it right at the moment. Yeah. I said it right then and there. I'm sure that that won't come back and haunt the Giants. Of course, right? I mean, it's not just the Giants. It's every team. You have a play like that. You know that that is going to be a factor down the stretch of games. And I would agree with him. Primarily, it is on the players. But when you're as bad as the Giants have been, there's going to be blame for everybody.
Yeah.
There's going to be blame for coaches. There's going to be blame for the GM, certainly. There's going to be blame for ownership. When you're as bad as the Giants have been, and keep in mind, what is the last 4 years? They're the worst team in the NFL. They're not like middle of the road bad. They have been the they are a laughingstock.
It's just, it is unbelievable to think that our new colleague, Matthias Kiwanuka, Chris Canty, all these guys that we've had conversations with, Gordon, part of Super Bowl, Eli Manning, who was on the station with, you know, the Michael Kay show for years, Super Bowls. And since then, since the last one, they look like they don't know how to draft. They look like they just haven't functioned well as an organization. And it's so un-Giant-like.
Yeah, it usually takes you a lot longer to go from the, and I don't know, like the pinnacle, one of the real tentpole franchises in the entire sport, the New York Giants, to go from there to where they are now. Usually it takes a lot longer to get from the top to the bottom.
It does.
They've gotten there pretty quick, and they've stayed there the last 4 years. So
they have. And hopefully hopefully they can turn it around this year, but I don't know. I don't know.
Look, maybe things turn around in the second act. The opening of the show has not been the most popular. You know, sometimes you're watching a show, and within the first 10 minutes, you shut it off, and you don't go back to it. If the Giants were a TV show, you would not be sticking with it. It would not be a binge watch, that's for sure.
Not at this rate. It would not. It would not. Unless you're, as a fan, you just want to say, do I have a quarterback at least? Do I have something? Do I have something on this team that I can, you know, wrap my hands around? Because Gordon, no matter how badly this season goes for them, wins or loss wise, they still have to figure out if they have a quarterback or not. Yep. And how do you make that decision?
Well, you got nothing but time. You got nobody that you're gonna put in there outside of him. So this entire season, that might be the only thing you get out of this season.
Might be.
With the way things are going right now, and if you take a look at, right, all the draft picks they've had, high draft picks each of these years, the amount of money spent on the defense this past year, the amount of money spent on the offense, maybe you bring somebody else in here that thinks that they could make it a tweaker here or two, but from where they're at right now, it feels like if somebody does come in here, it should not be about just a tweak or two. I mean, if you're the worst team in the sport over the last 4 years, that's a rebuild.
Yeah, it is. It is. And right now, Dave Gettleman and Joe Judge are looking for offensive linemen. And they better get in line because there's a lot of folks looking for offensive linemen.
They've been looking for a while, right? Since the first day they got here, they've been looking.
That's right. And now with the injury, they're still looking.
Larry, can I make a prediction?
Please.
Now, this might not, it's not going to take place until a few months from now, but we got to keep this cut. Can you already see, like, Javi Baez is having this, like, hot stretch now? He's going to have a very good end to the season. And then the Mets are going to go out and, you know, 6 years, $200 million, Javi Baez is back.
Javi Baez?
Yeah.
What am I doing with Cano?
Oh, no, Cano will still be there. I mean, he's going to be there. I mean, maybe they buy him out. I don't know. I mean, what was it, $48 million he has coming to him? It's a lot of money. It's a lot of money. Look. Can't you see it now? Like, this is like the worst case scenario if you're – I know he's been good, but I don't know that I'd be sinking $200 million or something in the ballpark of $200 million into a guy who will be 29 next year with his, you know, pretty established skill set. You know, low batting average, high power, doesn't get on base, strikes out a ton.
Can I ask you this, Gordon? If you're the Cubs, would you take him back?
That seems like what everybody – I heard Buster, I think it was the Sunday night game, maybe it was on one of the shows, where he said that was the most likely place because he's got, you know, the fans there love him. He won a World Series there. And there with Cubs, I mean, if people haven't been to Wrigley, Wrigley Field is a bar with a baseball stadium that's attached. Like, people are just going out there to see and be seen.
Okay.
It's not really about winning day to day. They're just out there to have a good time. And the fact that he's one of the guys that ended the curse, he'll always have a home there. So and look, he's gotten a personality and stuff like that. He does make flashy plays from time to time.
He's
a great base runner, great defense. So it does seem like that's the way the baseball insiders think that he will wind up.
Yeah.
But I can see a scenario where he has this hot stretch the end of the season. Mm-hmm. And, even after booing the fans, everybody said, well, he's not going to be back here. And in very short order, he's kind of turned that around.
Absolutely. And we get to the calls in a second. And listen, the $300+ million man wants him.
Oh, of course. I mean, that has to kind of factor into things, right?
He wants
the fact that they're that good of friends. I think that kind of is one of the reasons why he's here in the first place.
And the other thing I will say about him, Gordon, is that he plays the game with a certain attitude.
Yep.
That the Mets don't have. You know what I'm saying? He's got
I don't know necessarily, some of that attitude. I don't know if you want, right?
Yeah, I know what you're saying, but there's stuff. If the attitude towards the players, the opposing players, is okay. The attitude with the fans, I can deal with that. But you know what I'm saying? He's got that certain he's got
swagger.
That certain moxie. You know that certain thing he plays the game hard is what I'm trying to say, and that's what you like. You like a guy like that. You like a guy that's got a little attitude when he plays. So that part of it is a positive. I don't know if it's 200, 300 million worth of a positive that I can use because
I've got so many
other holes.
I'm just going by what the blueprint seems like it's going to be.
I got so many other holes on this team, though. I can't afford to pay him that. I got other places I need to fill. I got other places here. I need pitching badly. What's my starting rotation next year?
Who's your outfield?
Please.
I mean, who do they have in the outfield? They got, in terms of actual outfielders, they got Nimmo.
Yep.
McNeil can play the outfield.
Mm-hmm.
Dom Smith can play the outfield.
Yep. I got a lot of VR can play the outfield.
Yeah.
So I mean, what am I going to do there?
Well, look, Uncle Stevie can get the checkbook out. He's got a holster. Yeah. He keeps the checkbook in. He swings it around.
Yeah.
Like a pistol, and he can lock it up. Yeah, lock it up, Bubba.
That's why Springer's not playing center field for me.
Yeah. Well, they they struck out on a lot of those guys.
Not that I want him, but that's why Bauer's not pitching for me.
Yeah, well, he's not pitching.
Once again,
that one,
I want him.
Oh, my God. Thank God you avoided that one, Larry. As bad as this
can
year
can you imagine?
Went, oh, my God.
But he would be, this year he'd be perfect.
Oh, my
With the way
goodness.
Things have gone
That would have been
he'd
the
be
worst
perfect.
One. By thumbs down to the fans would have seemed quaint by
exactly.
those. I mean, that is just such an ugly story. I mean, you have to wonder whether he ever pitches again.
I know.
I'm not talking this year. I mean ever again.
Ever. And Gordon, what does the union say?
I don't know. They've been pretty quiet. I mean, it seems like everybody's going along. That's why it's pretty bad when the union has not come out and said anything in terms of, well, this guy, innocent until proven guilty,
mm-hmm,
and he deserves to be back on the field.
Mm-hmm. Baseball Players Association, Gordon, they're quiet. When does that happen?
Not generally. I mean, the owners could say the sky is blue and the union would go, well, the hell you say it's blue. They'll argue about anything.
That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Back to the phones. Buddha's in the Bronx. Hey, Buddha, you're next on 98.7.
Well, what's going on, guys? How you doing tonight?
Buddha.
Listen, I called to talk to you about the Giants. I have three quick points. I mean, I can't believe we're talking about the Giants so much. I find them compelling this year, man. It's as weird as when I used to watch that biography with Walter Winchell, then go breakdancing for quarters with my boy on Fordham Road. But anyway, man, oh, my God. Listen. At 3rd and 7 from the 18-yard line, if Jason Garrett called that play where it wasn't a run-pass option for Daniel Jones, I would have fired him today, which kind of leads you to believe that Joe Judge told him what plays that he wanted. And if it was to back-to-back handoff to Saquon Barkley, I mean, Coach, you can't win like that, man. The broom is coming off the rolls with Joe Judge a little bit. The caller that called you guys before, I think you poo-pooed him a little bit. He said the Giants needed. He talked about he was going to call Chris Collin about the Giants draft and how they should have moved back and got a guard and got the tight end and got a power back. That dude was 100% right. You know, certain teams have a certain identity. And even when Eli Manning was there, they had a power back, and then they had a do-it-all back. And that's the way the Giants won. The offensive line was Deal, O'Hara. Like these guys, these were some men. You understand what I'm saying? He was onto something there. You know, when you start trying to, like, get a little cute with your team and their identity, it doesn't work out. And then the third point I got, and I really, you know what, I got to be honest with you, I'm a little disappointed in both y'all. Uncle Larry, not you so much, because I know you're a really nice guy and you like to give people opportunity.
Wait a second.
No, listen, Gordon. And when I say this is not a discredit to you. You're like me. You know, you're a little cynical. You know, you're a straight shooter. You're not necessarily, you know, worried about how callers feel, how they've been treated. When that guy called y'all at the end of the show yesterday, Melvin, talking about he found the Giants entertaining.
I did have to laugh.
As a sports fan, no. Let me tell you something, man. As a sports fan, if he was in a local watering establishment, if he was at the crib, you know, if he was a Jets fan, and he did say something foolish like that after a loss, like that horrible loss they had, so he would have got his chin checked. You know, y'all were very accommodating to that man who was talking foolishness.
Well,
and no Giants fan didn't want to hear that.
I will just say this in my own defense. You know, Larry said last night, you know, let's hear from the Giant fan. And when you watch the game like you did, and you have a certain range of what you're expecting. All right, this is to blame, that's to blame. I got to say, I got caught flat-footed. I was like Glaber at shortstop. I was not expecting anything in the realm of the Giants were entertaining. That was not – and I think I said that at the time. I was like, wow, that was not what I was expecting. So, yes, I was looking for the curve, and I got the fastball, and I was back on the bench. So I'll give you credit on that one.
Buddha, I'm telling you, you know me. I'm just saying, when somebody says to me – I was entertained.
That might have been
Gettleman. I know you had that smack down grin on your face. I know you did. But come on, man. Like, somebody had to say something. You that dude, listen, I'm not even a Giants fan. Yo, like, I wanted to wring his neck. You know, like, and then he was, like, elaborating on it. You know, Daniel Jones played well today. I mean, come on, bro. Stop it, man. That loss right there last night. And like I said, I'm not even a Giants fan. When they called that inside route to Sterling Shepard, and it was a 6-yard route, when they needed 8, I took to my wife. I said, listen, did you record those untouchables on Sunday? Is that DVR? Because this game is over. I don't care if they hit the field goal or not. It was soft. It was weak. And you know what? As a Jets fan, I've always hated the Giants, especially in the 80s, because I'm a passing guy. I'm an AFC guy. I love to see that ball in the air. The Giants used to knock the snows out of your mouth. They played hard defense. And you know what? To see what they've morphed into, you know, it saddens you, man. It saddens you as a New York sports fan. It does, man.
You know, it's interesting you say that, Buddha. Thanks for the phone call. And you mentioned the offensive line. Hey, Gordon, listen, if they had that offensive line yet, they could use a power back they could use. Then we talk about thunder and lightning, right? We talk Jacobs and Dane. We're going back. What was it? Rodney Hampton left, Rodney Hampton right?
Yeah.
That's what the Giants were. You're right, Buddha. That's what they were. But once again, they're trying to change that. And it kind of goes back to what the caller talked about earlier, Gordon, with sabermetrics in baseball. And does everybody have to do it? Well, somebody got, you know, a little fancy with, let's throw the football again. And Gordon, people are throwing the football. They're not running the ball now.
No, it's a different game now, man. You got to pass the ball to win.
You know, it's Air Coryell 2.0.
Yeah. And look, the Giants are just not built well for whatever style they want, right? Like, there's no style that you're going to be able to overcome an offensive line that is as bad as this. And I don't really think we poo-pooed the caller that much. I mean, I think everybody at the time at our station pretty much was on board with not taking Saquon Barkley number 2.
Yeah.
And I remember doing shows saying I would do, I listed, if you don't have a franchise quarterback and you don't want to take Darnold, you don't want to take Allen, that's fine. You don't have to take one. If you don't truly believe that's the guy, you can pass on him this year.
Yeah.
But don't take a running back, too. The four areas where people spend money, quarterback, left tackle, pass rusher, shutdown corner. If you can't get any of those four at two, move down, trade down, stockpile picks. This is a long-haul rebuild. So I think that I don't remember anybody at the station of any of the hosts saying absolutely take Saquon Barkley number two.
No. Mm-mm. And I tell you, Josh Allen would look pretty good in the Giants uniform right now.
Yeah, would he be the same guy with the Giants? Like, he wouldn't succeed here. If all the other things remain the same, the offensive line is as bad as it is, and the weapons have been as bad as it is, and, I mean, I don't know that anybody really could have succeeded here with the team that they've put him around.
Yeah.
You know, he's amazing.
He is.
But the Bills have built things the right way.
Yeah, they built around him. And listen, maybe the Giants would have built around him differently. Maybe, because remember, the reason why they even took Saquon Barkley was they thought that they could make another run with Eli.
Yeah.
That's the only reason they even took him.
Yeah, that was...
You know, if they had been willing to say goodbye to Eli or realize, you know what, we need to move. Instead of us, let's see if we have one more run with him. No, let's draft the quarterback while he's still here so he can train him.
That should be the concern. Like, if we all are on board with Gettleman not being back after this year, you'd have to say that the reason why the Giants said, well, let's try to make another run with Eli, maybe it wasn't so much Gettleman as it was ownership. You think ownership's not going to have a say about the next guy after you've spent all this money on defense 2 years ago and all this money on offense this current offseason? Yeah. You think ownership's not going to say, well, look, they're not going to hire somebody who's going to come in here and tear everything down. They're going to hire somebody who's going to agree that, no, it's just a tweak or two away. Mm-hmm. It's not a tweak or two away.
It isn't.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.